Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we talk about the drama in Washington, D.C. with the latest spending bill. And then I'm joined by Pedro Gonzalez, and we talk about monkeypox and why is it we can't tell the truth about monkeypox. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show and hit subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com, and you could support Turning Point USA by going to collegescam.com. That is collegescam.com. Pick up a copy and proceeds go to Turning Point USA. Make sure you're subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast and get your friends to do the same. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. There's so much happening that we're going to get to, and in fact, there's been a lot of news this week that we just haven't had time to cover. Obviously, we are now in an official recession, and the definition of a recession is now being completely and totally redefined. We are seeing mass economic catastrophe continue to occur. Democrat mayors are speaking out against illegals coming to their cities. We are seeing more revelations with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, otherwise known as Biden Incorporated. But the story that we want to lead with today, and it's very murky and very confusing, understandably, is what is happening in Washington, D.C. It is the reconciliation Joe Manchin spending bill fight. Now, this is something that is not getting, I think, the attention that it deserves. Joe Manchin is not a conservative. Now, Joe Manchin is someone that I think received way too much praise, and I put praise on him as well, but also said throughout many, you know, different corners and turns that the Manchin agenda was always going to come to some point of negotiation and potentially sell out the entire country. And so there's this mass legislative debate happening right now in Washington, D.C. And Joe Manchin has shocked the world saying that he has come to some sort of middle ground or negotiation with Chuck Schumer. Now, the details of the bill are still pending, and Mitch McConnell has said that he has been betrayed and lied to. And my question to Mitch McConnell is, who do you think you're dealing with exactly? What do you think the Democrat Party actually is? Who do you think the Democrat Party really represents? You think they represent their voters? Or do you think the Democrat Party represents their crony special interests and the activists in the base of the Democrat Party? You see, Joe Manchin has been attacked by every single media outlet relentlessly. And now Joe Manchin is trying to make good by coming to the table and saying, oh, no, I'm still one of you guys. And the details of this bill are extraordinary. It will raise taxes. It will increase spending. It will fund the green energy scam. It will expand the Internal Revenue Service. And now Mitch McConnell says that he has been betrayed. Well, he shouldn't be shocked by the betrayal of the Democrat Party. Democrats, you cannot negotiate with Democrats anymore. And it shouldn't come as a massive shock that Joe Manchin is a nakedly political partisan hack. Now, Joe Manchin, I'm glad that he did whatever he could to block the bigger H.R. 1 and Build Back Better bill. But this mass reconciliation bill is something that we are now going to go through, word for word. We're going to go through all of the drama happening in Washington, D.C., and how your Republicans have just been played like a fiddle by Joe Manchin and the entire Democrat Party. The Democrats are trying to get one last legislative victory before what I think they know is going to happen, which is Republicans rising up and their power being permanently questioned. But it's a good lesson for us all. You cannot trust Democrats. Stop doing deals with them. Mitch McConnell says he feels shocked by Joe Manchin. Well, maybe, Mitch McConnell, you shouldn't have tried to do a deal with the Democrats. We're going to dive right into the drama happening in Washington, D.C. There's a lot happening politically. The Arizona primary is coming up on Tuesday, of which I have endorsed the great Blake Masters. Blake will be joining us on Monday. We will be doing special election coverage Tuesday night from Arizona. Arizona is the center of the conservative political universe right now, and we're going to be covering it live as it happens. There's a lot of questions happening in the Arizona gubernatorial primary, the Senate primary, state legislative races. The Arizona primary on Tuesday will be, let's just say, incredibly instructive as to the future of the Republican Party, the consultant class, and the grassroots. And we are on the front lines there as this weekend is the final weekend of campaigning, what's happening in Arizona. So, but first, I want to put the political, as far as the election topic aside for a second, and talk about some of the drama happening on Washington, D.C. and on Capitol Hill. Breaking in the last couple hours, Joe Manchin has now announced support for a climate, tax, and health care deal. You see, on top of the $7 trillion that has been spent over the last 2 years, Joe Manchin and the Democrats are now deciding that another $313 billion bill is necessary to approve. I'm reading from Axios.com. Senator Joe Manchin announced Wednesday he planned to support a deficit reduction package that addressed both climate change and prescription drug reform, a stark reversal for the one senator who has been blocking key planks of Joe Biden's agenda. And let me be very clear, this is not a revenue-generating agenda. I'm going to show you exactly what it's going to do and how it impacts you. If you're a small business owner, if you're an outspoken conservative taxpayer, wait till you hear what is going to happen here. There is one component of the bill that should make every single Republican and conservative taxpayer shudder in fear. Joe Manchin knows exactly what he's doing. Joe Manchin knows precisely the people he is empowering. Why it matters, according to Axios.com. The declaration from Joe Manchin marks yet another about-face in a year-long negotiation about the size and scope of a Democrat-only reconciliation package. Now, mind you, this is not just Joe Manchin that now has to put his name on the line. Raphael Warnock and the snake, Mark Kelly, who's running for Senate here in Arizona, is going to have to justify to voters of Arizona or Warnock in Georgia why he is approving another massive spending bill when it comes to this runaway inflation. So, allegedly, the deal would generate another $313 billion in revenue. Now, what does that mean? It means it's going to raise your taxes. You see, the media says, oh yeah, it's going to generate revenue. How does one generate revenue exactly? By stealing more of your money. I just love how dishonest the media is. Yeah, we're going to generate revenue, as if they're going to like flip a switch and figure it out. No, they're going to take more of your money. But the kicker of the whole bill, well, first let's go through some of the parts of the bill that the media is going to fawn over. The bill would spend another $369 billion while providing another $64 billion to shore up the Affordable Health Care Act. So basically, they need $64 billion to continue the scam of Obamacare. The reversal came just hours after the Senate passed another $280 billion package to support U.S. domestic semiconductor manufacturing. By the way, it doesn't actually support U.S. semiconductor manufacturing. We had Senator Scott from Florida on our program, and he walked through. He said, they don't have to close their Chinese plants. They don't even have to have manufacturing for semiconductors. The whole thing is a scam. But here is the kicker, and this is the top line that every conservative, every person needs to know. This bill that looks like it's going to become law thanks to Joe Manchin and the Democrats includes $124 billion to the IRS. So every Democrat out there that's about to vote for this, Mark Kelly, Raphael Warnock, we have to put them on notice immediately that while Americans are suffering, Joe Manchin is going out of his way, and Kyrsten Sinema, by the way, to go give $124 billion to the Internal Revenue Service. Now, where is that money going to go? Do you think they're going to go do more tax investigations into Hunter Biden? No, this is going to be used as a on-demand audit squad against conservatives and conservative business owners that they don't like. What Joe Manchin is approving, and Chuck Schumer knows because he got his biggest win in this concession, is that we are now going to have a tax equivalent of a police force to come after you. We don't enforce our own border. Illegals can come across into our country without anybody asking questions. But you know what we do enforce? We are going to go audit patriotic Americans. Maybe you own a farm. Maybe you take deductions for your business. Maybe you're just doing everything to make ends meet. What is the Democrats going to do right now? They're going to have $124 billion going to the Internal Revenue Service. New money going to the IRS. By the way, the IRS is buying up ammunition and bullets. No one is able to answer the question as to why the IRS is buying all these bullets. Now, this is all made possible thanks to Mitch McConnell and the Democrats that have been played like a fiddle. Mitch McConnell and the Republicans and the establishment Republicans thought that they could come to the middle, and they thought that they could negotiate this deal with Joe Manchin and the Democrats, that they could reduce the radicalism with these bills. And Joe Manchin has just stabbed all of them in the back. But I don't blame Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin is a serpent. He's a Democrat, after all. Sure, he blocked the filibuster. He used the filibuster to block H.R. 1. Terrific. Great. But when the chips are down, where does Joe Manchin go? Joe Manchin goes to approve $124 billion to the Internal Revenue Service. You think Joe Manchin's going to get audited anytime soon? No, but you might. If you own a business and you take deductions, they are going to use the political Stasi, otherwise known as the Internal Revenue Service, to come knocking on your door. You understand how much $124 billion is? That's almost as much money as we're going to give Ukraine probably by Christmas. It's a lot of money. So what are the priorities of Washington, D.C.? Well, Republicans say, let's go send $56 billion to Ukraine. And in all fairness, no Republicans are going to vote for this, even Susan Collins and Murkowski. They're not going to send money. They're not going to do this. But they don't need it. They can go through reconciliation. But we have to make the message very clear. Mark Kelly, the people of Arizona are not going to put up with this. Blake Masters is going to bring this to you every single day. Raphael Warnock, Herschel Walker is going to bring this to you every single day. This is a riskier vote, I think, than Democrats realize. They're like, oh yeah, people want this. $124 billion to the Internal Revenue Service? I guarantee if we did a public approval poll of the Internal Revenue Service, I don't think they're going to be above 50%. You're going to go give $124 billion to the IRS to allow them to do harsher audits, more investigations, to go take more money? They say, well, it's just for enforcement. So let's say they go try to enforce taxes against a multi-billionaire. You know what they do? They counter with accountants and lawyers, and they don't even feel the hit. So where do they go instead? They will have a flurry, a blitzkrieg of audits against people that are running businesses that do anywhere between $350,000 and $600,000 in revenue, maybe turning a $75,000 to $100,000 profit, and they're taking some deductions, and they are going to be targeted ruthlessly. The Internal Revenue Service was never held accountable for what they did with Lois Lerner. The Internal Revenue Service has not been held accountable for destroying devices. And this is a fire alarm. I'm telling you right now what's going on in Washington, D.C. This is nothing more than a personal financial political move to try to strangle and suffocate Republicans and conservatives via the IRS. And it looks like Joe Manchin is going to vote for it. And McConnell says, I feel so betrayed. Hey, guess what, McConnell? They're Democrats. Wake up. Look, we talk about current events a lot on this show, but there's other things that are in life that are bigger than current events, bigger things. We try to do some shows every so often on these things. But look, what am I talking about when I say that? How about good and evil? right and wrong, prayer and the Bible or heaven and hell. So look, the great C.S. Lewis, who's one of the most amazing minds ever to exist, was a master at addressing these questions. And that is why Hillsdale College, the great college, the only college, in my opinion, wants you to learn more about him and his writings in their newest free online course, C.S. Lewis on Christianity. And it all starts with taking a short quiz to find out how much you already know about Lewis. He wrote more than the Narnia series, by the way. Look, Hillsdale College is amazing. They defend liberty. They pursue truth. They do a great job. So just write this down. This should be your go-to resource. Remember, I have taken 16 of their online courses, and I have promised Dr. Arne I'm eventually going to finish them all. Go to charlie4hillsdale.com to take this fun, interactive quiz, and then sign up for this free course. The answers may even surprise you, even if you think you know everything about C.S. Lewis. They surprised me, my goodness. The quiz, the course, and everything you learn at Hillsdale College are yours for free, as always. So take the C.S. Lewis quiz right now at charlie4hillsdale.com. That is charlie4hillsdale.com. Take as many online courses as you can. The Constitution course is amazing, but their C.S. Lewis course is extraordinary. And by the way, Hillsdale College, just phenomenal. charlie4hillsdale.com. And so Joe Manchin approves $124 billion to the Internal Revenue Service. Let me ask you a question. Do you think when the IRS gets $124 billion, they will spend that money investigating churches or investigating abortion clinics? When the IRS gets $124 billion in additional funding, do you think they're going to audit businesses that stand for traditional marriage? Maybe donate to conservative candidates? Or are they going to be more likely to audit businesses that have the transgender and gay flag outside of them? I don't trust the IRS. After the targeting scandal that we saw with Lois Lerner, and no one was held accountable, and Lois Lerner, by the way, still receives her full pension. Full pension, no questions asked. And here Joe Manchin is coming to the table and is saying, we're going to give another $124 billion, and that's not the entirety of the bill. The bill also includes a massive sum for, quote, green energy. Part of the bill here says the Senate Commerce Committee says $20 billion this will go to a new Directorate for Technology and Innovation, promising a STEM workforce and to create broad-based research opportunities. The National Science Foundation will get another $81 billion. The Commerce Department will get another $11 billion. The core of the bill is $76 billion in direct funding for domestic semiconductor manufacturing. Now, this is part of the CHIPS bill, and so we're actually talking about two separate things here. The CHIPS bill and then this other new bill. The CHIPS bill, by the way, is unbelievably corrupt, and it does not do anything close to what they said it would do. It doesn't require the CHIPS Act. It doesn't require companies to redomicile to America. It doesn't require them to shut down their Chinese ties or plants. It doesn't even require them to make it semiconductor manufacturing. It just has to be semiconductor adjacent. The entire bill has become a mockery. On top of this, Joe Manchin has now approved $60 billion to address the disproportionate burden of pollution on low-income communities and communities of color. In addition to this, the senator from West Virginia, who seems to be as if he's creating a Green New Deal equivalent, says that he's going to have $27 billion for a green bank aimed at delivering financial support to clean energy projects. What? We now have a new federal bank that is being created called the Green Bank. Yeah, there'll be no corruption at all. Might I remind you of Solyndra? Solyndra was a solar panel project for Obama cronies that went completely and totally defunct of backslapping, cronyism. $27 billion in this bill aimed at delivering financial support to clean energy projects. And another $20 billion for programs to cut emissions in the agricultural sector. It continues by saying, we are going to raise taxes, increasing the corporate minimum tax to 15%. Now, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, corporate minimum tax. You know how many people file as small businesses, as S-corps and C-corps, that are now going to have their taxes raised in the midst of a recession? The worst thing you can do when you have recessionary pressure is to increase the confiscatory tax policies from the government. It's economics 101. You're not supposed to raise taxes, I think, ever, let alone raise taxes in the midst of a recession. But guess what? These big corporations, they're not going to mind this, because they'll go to the green energy carve-outs. They'll go to, I don't know, the green bank that's been created. But the local laundromat, the local restaurant, they are going to get crushed by this. And if you dare step out of line, if you fly a MAGA flag outside of your restaurant, if you don't if you don't have the appropriate virtue signaling in your diversity, equity, inclusion statement, then you might get audited. Because now the IRS has another $124 billion to go after you. Now, this bill is all but a guarantee. And we could still kill this bill. But believe it or not, Joe Manchin is not the person we should put pressure on. Forget Joe Manchin. He's a waste of time. He showed his colors. You know who actually might falter if we put enough pressure on? The at-risk battleground state Democrats of Mark Kelly and Raphael Warnock. This is not an automatic vote. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Right now, court packing is the real danger to our country. Make no mistake, court packing is a coup. The radical left is working overtime on new plans to pack the Supreme Court. Look, if we do not stop them from installing four more justices so they can rig the system in their favor, it'll be catastrophic for our court, our country, and the American way of life. We cannot let this happen. I will not let it happen on our watch. That's why I need you to join us. We're gathering a coalition of 1 million patriots to say no to court packing, no to the left-wing agenda, and no to the Supreme Court coup. Franklin Graham, former U.S. Attorney General Ed Meese, Dr. James Dobson, the Family Policy Alliance, and more, and over 400,000 people like you are all on board. Please sign your name now. Go to SupremeCoup, that's COUP.com, to sign First Liberty's letter. First Liberty is a great organization run by a dear friend, Kelly Shackelford. Go to SupremeCoup.com, and God bless America. We went into detail, a little bit of detail yesterday. I think too much detail, but it's fine, about this whole monkeypox situation. San Francisco has now declared a state of emergency for monkeypox. I want to play Cut 92. Ned Ryan went viral for saying this, and it's politically incorrect to say it, but he said the quiet part out loud. And the reason I support this is not to be insensitive towards people or whatever. It's that I will not tolerate a quote-unquote public health emergency again without the full factual counter moves that we have at our disposal. Play Cut 92.
As for monkeypox, I think there's a pretty good rule in life. Don't attend gay orgies. When you look at the New England Journal's report of the 528 cases that
are
viewed.
Ned, come on, man.
It's not about gay. How about any orgies?
Go look at the New England Journal's report that NBC News reported on Friday, in which of the 528 cases they reviewed, 95% were between sex between men. I think we actually have to have a serious conversation about where this is coming from. When I'm done, Brad, you can talk. Instead of going crazy and declaring a national pandemic when 3,000 people have it right now, it's insane.
Joining us right now is Pedro Gonzalez. Pedro, welcome to the program. Is Ned Ryan correct?
Yeah, no, Ned Ryan is totally on point. And it's really depressing to see Fox News, with few exceptions. I mean, Tucker Carlson really does seem to be kind of on an island of sanity here, but you're seeing this more and more from Fox, where they're basically accepting a lot of the LGBT stuff and taking these kind of politically correct stances on this. And you saw that everyone in that interview was uncomfortable with Ned Ryan simply stating the facts, right? And it's infuriating because we just got through this whole thing where we shut down churches and gyms and schools.
Yes.
And people were not allowed to attend funerals for their family members, right? We ruined people's lives over this, over COVID, over the spicy flu. But we're not allowed to even comment on the lifestyles of gay men. Because for some reason, we've decided that they're like a sacred people whose way of, whose fetishes and proclivities are just completely above comment, to the point where we're just denying reality.
Well, I also want to be clear about what Ned Ryan said there. He said gay orgies, and that somehow was like met with response. I mean, that's just, what planet are we living on here, Pedro? And I think you made such a smart point. And everyone has their own different views on, you know, the gay issue. You and I are both very pro-traditional marriage. That's not even the core center of this. The question that I think that we all have, though, is why is it that pastors and churches and going to Easter service, remember, in 2020, was met with condemnation, it was met with backlash, it was met with shaming, it was met with lockdowns. The holiest day on the Christian calendar was completely eliminated. And saying that, hey, according to the reports, gay orgies are the reason why monkeypox is being spread. And that is a truth you can't say out loud. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I'm honestly not sure how we arrived at this point. It defies all reason how we have arrived at this point, that somehow gay orgies are more sanctified than places of worship. You know, that we can't shut these places down.
But it's so true. I hate to say that.
It's totally true.
No, I mean, it's just, yeah, keep going, please.
No, I mean, with the response to Ned's thing was also kind of delusional, right? It's like, well, all orgies are bad. It's like, okay, all orgies are gross. I agree. But there's one group of people in society that is overrepresented in this kind of behavior. That's not to say everyone who is a gay man does that stuff, but we all know that there's one group that is more likely than others to participate in that behavior. But we're not even allowed to comment on this. And again, if we agree that this is a public health crisis, it's an emergency that should be taken seriously.
That's exactly right.
Then we should also talk about it in a sober way, but we can't because we have these sacred cows. And I mean, on Fox News, you had a panelist called Ned Ryan that referred to his comments as bigoted. This is the state, the absolute state of the United States.
No, and I do want to make sure I balance this, though. I mean, just with the thing on Fox is that Tucker has had some pretty intense commentary, and he's given freedom to say it. But I agree, the way it was handled, you know, was not proper. But the network has allowed back and forth because, I mean, I think what did Tucker call it, schlong COVID or something? I mean, it's a little spicy.
No, you're right. No, that's why I prefaced before.
No, I know. That's important.
Yeah, no, Tucker is sitting on top of the world right now in terms of, like, he obviously is consistently correcting this messaging, but I think everyone notices this kind of this gap, you know, between what he says and then what you're hearing from other Fox programs.
So Friedrich Nietzsche used to say, Pedro, that every society has a central piety that you aren't allowed to make fun of.
Yeah.
Right? Why are churches and Christians okay to make fun of relentlessly, mock their religion, mock their faith, mock the nuclear family, but the other is not? Why is that?
Well, I think we have a variety of protected groups, right? We have these sacred people, minority groups. Honestly, I probably could be folded into one of these categories because of the fact that
you're
Latino,
super
right?
Oppressed, so Pedro.
I belong to a protected group, right? Like that's the system has to protect me from people like you, Charlie. But it does seem like this particular group is above others, right? So what explains that? And I think it has to do with this group being kind of the embodiment of the sexual revolution, right? Our crusade to remove all social stigma, all taboos. And taboos are good, by the way. We have taboos for a reason, like on incest, right?
Yes.
And rape.
Or pedophilia, right?
Pedophilia, correct. We have taboos for a good reason, often. But this was the direction of the sexual revolution, that basically any constraints on behavior that are imposed by law, tradition, morality, public decency, things like that, that all these are somehow repressive and bad, and we have to eliminate them, basically all safeguards on society. And I think that is why this particular group is so fiercely protected by the established political order, because they kind of represent that. I think you have to think of it in terms of symbolism, right? And so when you start to critique that protected group, you're not just engaging in a kind of rational discussion about, you know, the implications of a health crisis or whatever. You're kind of taking a swing at something like a religious icon.
Yeah, it's
sounds
piety,
crazy,
right? You cannot go after it. It would be as if how a Catholic population would react to be putting Mother Mary in a jar of urine, because something similar happened, by the way, in the United Kingdom years ago. You might remember there was all this. I think it was the crucifix, not Mother Mary. But the point is that there is that the outrage it was received is the same way you see with this. I want to play a piece of tape here. Play cut 40, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky. And I want you to listen to this carefully, Pedro. I know you've commented on this, but there's this glaring revelation in this comment by our public health official. And before we go any further, I just want to be very clear. The reason why Pedro, Ned Ryan, and I get so fired up about this is because all of a sudden we're supposed to keep our mouths quiet as our freedoms and liberties and vaccine mandates and mask mandates are supposed to come back. It's like, yeah, I'm sorry, we've played this game, and I'm not going to sit idly by and act like this is normal. Okay, play cut 40.
We do have seen now two cases that have occurred in children. Both of those children are traced back to individuals who come from the men who have sex with men community, the gay men community. And so when we have seen those cases in children, they have generally been what I call adjacent to the community most at risk.
Pedro?
Yeah, I'm not sure I can comment on that without getting myself kicked off your show permanently, because it's speculative, and
but the children part. I mean, why is that like so flippantly mentioned? Who are these? Who raped the kids? Right, that's a question I think we should ask. Right,
yeah. Or what kind of behavior are the adults engaging in that is exposing these kids to that? Right, I mean, it's a massive elephant in the room. But again, we're not allowed to do anything more than kind of speculate, right? Because it's forbidden. This is a protected group.
Yeah, but
it's iconoclastic.
Yeah, and just do you see that starting to change though on the right? Do you think that there's been more boldness on this topic?
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's actually it's not like we've been just making great arguments and they've finally convinced people. Oftentimes it takes a kind of shock to the system.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And that is exactly what the dichotomy between how we handled COVID and how we handled and discussed COVID versus how we're handling and discussing monkeypox, right?
Yeah.
It's just for too many people, it's just too much. It's too in your face, hypocritical. You know, like we had police arrest pastors.
That's exactly right. Yes.
We had police taser parents here in Ohio who attended outdoor baseball games without wearing masks, but we're not allowed to talk about, you know, why gay orgies are problematic in the context of a public health crisis or whatever. We're not allowed to talk about that.
That's yeah. And then also it's like, wait a second. I have to now potentially entertain lockdowns, more medical tyranny for somebody's, you know, morally degenerate behavior. Like that's where all of a sudden this now becomes everybody's problem. You know, somebody said, Charlie, why do you care about all the gay orgies? It's like, yeah, I don't know if you really want an answer to that question, but I'll tell you why everyone should care, because they're now using this as a prerequisite to take away our fundamental liberties again. And also it just begs the question. I know pastors like my pastor, Rob McCoy in California, who faced massive amounts of fines, arrest, you know, possibly arrested, had to go in front of the judge. Why? He had church service on Easter. That's what he wanted to do, Pedro. He wanted to have church service. And they came after him with the full force of government. It seems as if that's not going to happen in the bathhouses of San Francisco. But I do think conservatives are getting a little bit more bold and quite honestly ticked off with, like, you know what, you're not going to lock us down again. It's not going to happen, especially given the circumstances here. Right now, Bank of America has just lowered its 2022 forecast for the S&P 500 by a whopping 900 points to 3,600. Saying we're headed for a recession this year, it said the new year target is the lowest on the street. This is not good news for those of you stuck in equities or anything tied to stock markets. I know thousands of people who have put their trust in Noble Gold to prevent losing money in the financial storm that is brewing. You can join them by calling their expert team. Noble Gold has recently voted the number one gold company in the country by Consumer Affairs. No call centers, no scripted response, No bull, just a straight, honest run through options so you can decide. And by the way, they're giving away a beautiful 1/10 an ounce gold American Eagle coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover this month. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call the team now at 877-646-5347 to find out more or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. Carl emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Pedro, I want your quick reaction. The question is, Charlie, the question is this. Are we going to lock down again because we do not want to insult gay men who go to orgies and have unprotected sex? Dr. Ryan Cole said, just put a condom on and don't go to orgies. Pedro, that's the question, isn't it? Are we afraid of the sensitivities of a certain group of people?
It seems that way, yeah. It seems like our insistence on being politically correct is going to lead us in a direction where we'll do literally everything except telling the truth. If that means that we have to, you know, lock you in your house and force another experimental vaccine on you in order to protect this protected, this sacred group, then yeah. I mean, there are certainly absolutely people that want to do that. And if given power, they will do that.
Yeah. And I mean, just the lockdowns, they're so eager to go back to this medical emergency. Yeah. And it's, they're in a tough spot, and we're going to talk about this after the short break, Pedro, because they can't really tell the truth about this particular one because their core constituency is comprised of one of the communities. Pedro, I want to read to you one of these things here. This person says, I got monkeypox as a straight man, and he says, I want everyone to know, even as a straight person who dabbles in non-straight sex occasionally, you can still get monkeypox. And so I know this is, so the tweet says, even straight men who occasionally engage in gay sex with other men can get monkeypox. And then Anthony Fauci says the following, I want to play this and your reaction, play cut 53.
Is this a situation if and when there's enough vaccine that ultimately the whole population, right, or larger populations will get vaccinated for monkeypox?
I would doubt that that's the case, because what we're seeing right now, and it could change, it could go beyond the population of men who have sex with men, but go well beyond that. For example, if you look within the population of men who have sex with men, those who are on pre-exposure prophylaxis for HIV and are at risk, those are the people that you want to vaccinate. So there's an entire layered group of people who are at risk. That's what we need to do.
Pedro?
This just sounds like we're talking about gay men with extra steps. Like, it's actually really hilarious. You know, it's like, well, there's another group. There's on the one hand, there's men who have sex with men. And on the other hand, there's men who occasionally have sex with men. It's like this, we're talking about the same group here. We're just kind of dancing around it. Or people who,
men who dabble. Pedro.
Yeah, men who dabble. This is clown world. What you're seeing right now on your screen is clown world at its finest. It's incredibly amusing, but also there are serious implications, like giving people like Fauci more power who belong in jail.
So. Yes, that's exactly right. So Pedro, just shifting gears for a second, the Republican establishment in Washington, D.C. keeps on sending more money to Ukraine. What is the latest on the ground in Ukraine? It's hard to get accurate reports. I know your reporting on this has been phenomenal. We only have a couple minutes. What's going on?
Yeah. What's going on is that the United States government, very different from the American people, is continuing its campaign of basically throwing as many Ukrainian bodies as it can at the Russian military as part of its goal to essentially weaken Russia and ultimately create conditions that are conducive for regime change. I mean, that's the long and short of it. So much of the information that's coming out of Ukraine is just, you know, propaganda. Like you open the news to see about the latest Ukrainian war news, and it's like the Ukrainian intelligence claims that it's killed 200 Russian generals, and you know, Zelensky is about to march on Moscow, and it's so difficult to get good information out of this kind of fog of war. But what we do know is that 3 months ago, the experts, the military experts, our foremost minds were saying things like, in 10 days, the Russian military is going to collapse. And when that didn't happen, it was like, okay, in the next 10 days, it's going to collapse. Okay, that didn't happen. In 20 days, Russia will run out of missiles. In 5 more days, you know, the Russian government, the economy is going to collapse due to sanctions. So what we know is that the war is continuing and that the United States government is doing everything it can to protract this conflict at the expense of Ukrainians, Russians, and obviously Americans, because ultimately we're the ones really footing the bill for this conflict. And ultimately we're being put in a position where we might someday end up fighting it.
So, and so, and then Pedro, super quick, they posed for a Vogue photo shoot.
Right. Yeah.
Zelensky. No, what?
Zelensky is the ultimate, neoliberal puppet. Like he's a complete cipher. The guy, you know, slips off his skin tight spandex and drag and high heels and stuff. And like jumps into a green t-shirt for a Vogue photo shoot. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a video of him in drag.
No, the photo shoot is, I mean, I think it's also super insensitive to the suffering of the Ukrainian people though.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. It's important to really emphasize that Zelensky is a villain. Like if you're concerned about the Ukrainian people, I agree. Civilian casualties are tragic.
It's awful.
And war is tragic. Zelensky doesn't care about that. The guy that does Vogue photo shoots and is like on Zoom calls with his World Economic Forum buddies cares about the plight of the Ukrainian people.
I mean, this is not the Wall Street Journal. I mean, we have the picture up on screen, Pedro, and we're running out of time, but your people are starving. They are war torn. There are children being massacred, and you bring in a photo shoot where you have, I mean, Vogue is known as you're here to kind of, it's like the ultimate narcissist's, you know, kind of indulgence in narcissism. In the midst of a war, and you get photographed like that? I think it's repulsive. I think it's disgusting, actually. Yes. You guys can follow Pedro on Substack. Contra, if I'm not mistaken, can follow him on social media. Hot Takes with Pedro every Friday. God bless you, Pedro. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.